Chené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Chené doesn't lie. She just has a different relationship with the truth. Which we'll get to in a second. Chené and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And by the way, Chené, when it comes to the New York Jets and their quarterback, what is our go-to song?
Sammy and the Jets. Sammy and the Jets. Go for it.
So coming up in about 10 minutes, I'm going to tell you why they should already be getting ready for the remix in New York, because we are going full steam ahead towards that moment. And I want to get into, Chené, one of the top contenders I think we need to start officially putting in the conversation for the upper echelon of the AFC as we're getting ready to start kickoff now, here in a second, of the Chiefs and the Bills in the first half of a Monday Night Football doubleheader that'll include the Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals on ESPN on our side of things. Before we get to all of that, I have to ask you a very important question, because it was posed by Cliff, who's running the board for us here today, and I feel like in light of your three cell phone lifestyle, I've got to ask you this question.
Okay.
When does cuffing season officially start?
The easy answer would be when the seasons change and things get colder, but I would say when you start seeing the advertisements for pumpkin spice latte.
See, and I feel like pumpkin is going to be the central thing. For anyone that's unfamiliar with the idea or the concept of cuffing season, it's the idea of just what Chené said. The weather and the temperature starts to get colder, especially out here on the East Coast. Everyone is looking to go indoors, and everybody is looking to cuddle up with somebody. And now, the statute of limitations usually runs through right before Valentine's Day. If you're smart, you can usually get out before then. But for everyone else, it's really about just getting someone to cuddle up with during the winter months here. And it's an extremely taxing and daunting process for some of us on the single side of things. Like, I don't know about you, Chené. I don't have three cell phones, so this process gives me a little bit of anxiety.
Yeah, no, I'm nervous too. And I think the reason why we take it seriously is because you said Valentine's Day. The person you select probably goes through New Year's. Mm-hmm. And New Year's, that's a serious holiday to be cuffed up, booed up with somebody. But we put it on Twitter and I got some funny answers. Maggie Hendricks. When you start seeing the engagement ring ads, interesting. Ooh. I guess that means I'm forever in cuffing season. And then another one from Thillian, draft combine starts during Thanksgiving.
You get back home. What do they call the night out before Thanksgiving? That Wednesday out, Cliff, what is it?
You talking about Thanksgiving Eve?
Yeah, Thanksgiving Eve. Is that the first night of the cuffing season combine? Honestly, I think if you get to that point, it's already too late. And you're probably looking around there the only one not cuffed up at that point.
So, someone said gray sweats.
Ooh, we're getting dangerously close. At Chené, at Mike Golick Jr. on Twitter. Let us know for you when cuffing season officially begins.
A nice growl fit and a nice pumpkin-scented candle in the living room.
If that's the case, cuffing season started in my house like 3 weeks ago.
President, when the hey big head messages start coming. Hey big head.
Hey big head. It is getting lawless out in these streets very quickly. So hit us up at Chené, at Mike Golick Jr. We'll keep taking those as we go along, because this is important information.
It is.
For those of us that are out here single going into the winter months. Chené and Golick Jr. reminding you to be part of Chené and Golick Jr. Nation on that Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you. Treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. When does cuffing season start? We will get back to that, because Chené, right now, as we look out in the NFL picture over the weekend, you were the one that brought this up when we were talking before the show. We've talked so much in the AFC about the Chiefs and the Bills that are getting ready to kick off right now. We've talked a lot about the Pittsburgh Steelers, who put it on the Browns big time this weekend. But we watched Derrick Henry and the Titans run over, and I've used that verbiage very purposely, the Houston Texans, your Houston Texans. Chené, as someone who watched that game, how impressed have you been by what this Titans outfit has been able to do coming off of a pretty surprising season for them last year?
Yeah, I've been really impressed, especially by their balance. You know, being able to have Ryan Tannehill, who, since he's been with the Titans, Tannehill has completed 69.9% of his passes for 3,746 yards with 31 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. It's about time we put respect on his name. But then also, they stormed on the scene last season, largely because of Derrick Henry. And a lot of people are saying, should Tannehill be considered an MVP? Well, you got to sort of throw out the idea about Derrick Henry as well, because he rushed for more than 100 yards for the 10th time out of his last 14 contests. And more importantly, Stephen A. pulled the point, like, when he didn't play well, that's when their team ended their season. So they have this nice balance offensively with Tannehill and also Henry. So this looks like a team that's legit. Like, they're a legit contender, you know, in the AFC. But you look at the broad picture. I mean, you're still dealing with the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Bills that are trying to make a name for themselves. But who do you think? Like, I think the Titans are legit. You have to probably agree at this point now, too.
Absolutely. And I think the Titans have been, and I'm so happy. Like, Ryan Tannehill, we talked about this on Friday, a guy that we talked about in end zone or friend zone, as a big-time end zone guy. He's shown now through the first, you know, past the quarter mark of this season, that money they chose to pay him coming off of that 1 year, and everyone wondered, was that 1 year really who Ryan Tannehill is going forward? And so far, so good, it's paid off. But that other money they handed out to Derrick Henry, and that's controversial to do that for a running back in this day and age, seems to be doing the same. And it's why Ryan Tannehill is saying the same thing you are. It's time to start talking about Derrick with those three letters, MVP.
It's extremely frustrating. You know, you look at I've got to give it to Derek. You know, I'm not a guy who's going to vote for myself, and I have a ton of respect and love Derek. You know, he does a lot for us. You know, yesterday was huge on the stat sheet, but he's been huge for us all year, whether he had 200 yards or not. You know, just the impact he has on the game, the ability to not only make the tough yards inside, which you see a lot of big backs do, but he has, as you're seeing now, the speed to take it 95-plus yards anytime he touches the ball, which I think is what makes him extremely rare.
And Chiney, when it comes to paying running backs, I'm always going to say that the general rule of thumb nowadays is giving them the kind of contracts we've seen given to Christian McCaffrey more often than not is probably going to get you burned. But with the number the Titans got him at and the skill set he brings, like, Chiney, I didn't know things as big as him were supposed to move that fast, but I watched him move away from an entire defense, and I had Titans fans tweeting at me like, oh, yeah, this happens all the time. What are you gawking at right now?
Yeah, I mean, just figuring out, like, as a physical specimen, for him to do what he's able to do is beyond impressive. But, I'm learning a lot through the eyes of fantasy, and when a guy can give you 40 fantasy points – I was like, my goodness, this is the week that I was going up against Wentz, which I felt like, oh, wow, this is like all fun and games. The one time I get, Jerry Jeudy going off, and now I got Wentz going off. But looking at Derrick Henry, you know, it's impressive what he's been able to do. And I think as much as we commend Ryan Tannehill, you have to look at Derrick Henry for just picking up where he left off.
And I think it's also important to note, because we talk a lot about the Titans, and people assume because you've got a human battering ram as your running back that they're a run-first team. But what they've been able to do with A.J. Brown in this passing game, with Ryan Tannehill throwing early and often, going deep early and often with play action, they work in concert really well. And they have a really smart head coach. Mike Vrabel, we talked about, Chiney. He's a big fan of that bunker mentality that we talk about here. Inside locker rooms, when they went through all the COVID stuff and got a big win, they were looking at everybody saying, you guys all treated us so poorly, and now looking what we're doing to you. But, Chiney, we also saw he's a guy with an incredible understanding of the rule book yesterday, took a penalty late to preserve some clock time that ultimately gets them a win. And so I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, I look at the two teams that are playing tonight, and I probably still say, you know what? The Chiefs probably still the class of the AFC for me at this point. I think the Steelers are knocking on that door there. I think the Titans are firmly entrenched in that top tier of top two or three teams that we got to reckon with based on the whole sample size for the last 2 years.
Yeah, and I have to agree, just because I'm even thinking about the Steelers and Tomlin and what they've been able to do, and your boy Chase Claypool emerging as a young star, which is really fun. Ben Roethlisberger back, their receivers looking strong, James Conner on the ground, and they're undefeated. So, this whole conference is stepping up to the plate, and it's more competitive than I even thought. And they're pulling off wins and making names for themselves.
Pulling off wins, making names for themselves. The MVP conversation is going to grow and heat up. We're watching two go at it right now. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen from the Buffalo Bills, both going to be in the MVP conversation. But we'll see if this is a year where, all right, we've got an off weekend from Russell Wilson, who's on bye. And so what do we get? Derrick Henry stepping up in a big way and inserting himself into that conversation. But coming up next, Chiney, we got to have a very different conversation on the opposite end, because we love the song Sammy and the Jets. But coming up, I'll show you why that organization should probably be singing a different tune come this April. We'll get to that next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll check in with our very own Jeff Passan to see if even he can name anyone that plays for the Tampa Bay Rays. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agumake. As the World Series is set, the Dodgers are getting ready to face off against the Rays, the best from the NL and AL, both getting ready to square off. But, Chiney, before we get to the good, we still got to work with and reckon with the bad, because the Jets lost again this weekend. They have been at the bottom of our top five, bottom five rankings for a while now, and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. And so, Chiney, I would ask you this, because it's a question I want to deal with overall here, but you've got unique insight. How much can one player potentially affect the future of a franchise? How much can one player really change a place like New York, like the Jets, that seems to have so much wrong with it from top to bottom?
One player can change a lot if that is a generational talent, and you better be right in naming them a generational talent. We've seen many throughout different sports, but I think a lot of people are saying, well, maybe, and I'm assuming you're talking about Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, maybe we should just retool an entire roster instead. When you have a guy that is 30-1 as a starter, who just, I think this past weekend, right, put up 73-7, had career highs in passing yards and all that stuff. That sort of, if it looks like one, smells like one, gives the stats like one, that's a generational talent you shouldn't pass up on.
Correct. And I look at that relative to the Jets situation, Chiney, because there's a lot wrong there right now. And we're going to hear from one of our colleagues who believes that there's a different way that you can go about it. I'm with you. I think in this situation, with this particular player, there's only one real way to do it. Because we look at what's going on this weekend right now in this organization. We want to get to a little bit of coach speak right here. Because Adam Gase, like, you've now got the passive-aggressive shots. Greg Williams, their defensive coordinator, kind of saying in the media that, yeah, the defense is giving up a lot of points, but it's not really all on them. And so we have to already decode some of these messages, and we like to do that for you around here. So, Cliff, why don't we hit him with a little coach speak here quick?
What some people say ain't always what they mean.
We all have a job to do. We're going to have to count on everybody to do their job.
Consider this a translation.
I think we're working at it, and we'll see where we're at on Sunday.
Coach speak with Chiney and Golic Jr.
Coach speak is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. And Chiney, here was Adam Gase, the New York Jets head coach, who a lot of people have been calling for his job and who has to now answer questions about comments made by his defensive coordinator, throwing subtle shade at the offense. Here's what Adam Gase had to say on his DC's comments.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't happy about it, but I mean, we talked about it, and he knew that it just, you know, right now I feel like our players are doing such a good job as far as trying to get things righted, and you know, it's just everything we say is, it matters, you know, and he understood that none of us can, we gotta set the right example.
Chiney, when you hear this among the coaching staff in this situation, having to put out these fires right now, how are you a player in this locker room looking up and having any confidence in what's going on?
You don't have any confidence. Look, we always say in locker rooms, and you know this, solve it in the locker room. You know, solve it behind closed doors. This is an issue that I would like to just step on a limb and say it's 99.9% of the time the players that have issues, and they start putting feelers out to the media. The only time the coach does it is when he's trying to motivate their entire roster. And it's usually just the head coach. Just like, look, we didn't play well, so I'm putting it on X, Y, or Z. And he knows his player, and he's going to motivate them. This is not the case, because it just seemed like a lot of words that didn't really mean much, and clearly the words aren't translating to your defensive coordinator.
Yeah, this is a direct reflection of what we just talked about. True coach speak in this situation, because today this is just the tip of the iceberg too for the Jets. We look at it and we've said, all right, the head coaching job is not getting it done nearly well enough. Neither is it defensively. They're one of the worst defenses in the league. According to our FPI here, our Football Power Index at ESPN, the Jets now have a 57% chance for the number one overall pick. And I look at this situation and say, you're a franchise that doubts the future of its head coach right now, has had quarterback instability for quite a while, a franchise that hasn't signed a first-round pick to a second contract since, I believe, Muhammad Wilkerson back in the day. It's been an abject disaster in how you run this. And I think with Trevor Lawrence, who we're going to, like, the easy capsule narrative on him is going to be most surefire pro prospect in the line with John Elway and Andrew Luck. Like, that is where he's on, period, end of sentence. This guy can do things that most other people can't. And I think when you have a chance, if you're going to make a change at head coach, which you imagine they're going to do, to start fresh with a quarterback of that caliber And I think Sam Darnold can still play in this league somewhere, but I think that ship has sailed in New York. Now, some person that doesn't agree with me is Keyshawn Johnson, co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the morning, who believes that this doesn't fix the problems and that the Jets have too many holes to plug. Here's what he has to say about what he thinks this organization and this franchise should do.
You have bigger holes than Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. Your team sucks. It's the worst thing going. So you drafted a guy 3 years ago with the third pick of the draft because he was your Trevor Lawrence. He looks good at times and bad at times with nothing around him. A coach that how he wind up coaching New York Jets, we'll never know. But you're ready to move on from him because you think Trevor Lawrence is the next Andrew Luck? What the hell did Andrew Luck win? He won some games, went to an AFC championship game, and that's it.
Yep.
So I don't understand why they think that the quarterback is the answer when they have one that they need to put pieces around. You take that number one pick and you trade it and you do what the Boston Celtics in basketball have done. You stockpile a bunch of picks. And then you start to find guys that can help you build your damn team.
I will not tolerate any Andrew Luck slander on ESPN radio. This man, of course, he was super talented. I saw it up front and close and center at Stanford University. But clearly there were a lot of issues there and he just chose his own health and wellness. So we don't need to loop him in. We can talk about his talent without denigrating what he did, you know, his decision to move forward with his life. Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
Listen, and I agree with you on that one. Like, what did Andrew Luck do? He only took the Colts around deeper into the postseason each year he was there in uniform before he lacerated an internal organ and had injuries started to undermine what he was doing. Like, he was on that track. That team was, what, 2-10 that year Peyton Manning was hurt that ultimately got them the number one pick? And, like, we're talking about Keyshawn Johnson, the Jets' last number one overall pick in 1996. Like, you get rare opportunities to go. You think he's protective over that number one spot, Janae?
I think that's it. We love you, Key, but come on.
There might be a little something to do with that because I just flat out disagree. I think the Jets have drafted the offensive lineman that's supposed to take you into the future, Mekhi Becton, who I believe is a stone cold stud in that situation. I think you're going to have to start filling in skill players around him when CJ Mosley, who opted out this year, if he's back on your defense, you've got a foundational piece there. If you can get Quinnen Williams to play up to snuff under a different staff potentially. And then you add the quarterback. Again, Sam Darnold is largely what we saw at USC and has not been developed like the Josh Allen we're watching on Monday Night Football right now. At USC, incredible talent, but a lot of turnover issues and more of the same here. Too many coaching changes. And so if you're going to start with a new staff, why don't you take a page out of the Arizona Cardinals book and give your coach a fighting chance with a prospect that blows Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, and the rest of these guys out of the water from his physical abilities, from his production, and then some.
And you want to bring up Andrew Luck? Okay, bet. How about Trevor Lawrence? He was born in, what, 1999? Mm-hmm. Andrew Luck, probably 1990. Are you cool with this 9-year cycle of getting a talented quarterback? You have one right in front of your face. You have the odds. Take the man. Win never for Trevor.
A player this good can be the beginning of major league change for an organization that has a lot of things to fix. Fix the most important position first, then figure the rest out. Speaking of figuring it out, we want to figure out if the NFL, if Major League Baseball should be concerned with the formula that got the Rays to the World Series. We are going to ask one of our great insiders next. After this word from Mercedes-Benz. If you ever wonder how far an extra mile really goes, drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. Start with a network of over 250 authorized dealerships backed by a sales force ready to help you with everything from customization to service. On vans like the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter that's tailored to your lifestyle and with options like blind spot assist and the MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather, and more. So whether you're enjoying life on the trail or working hard on the job, see how far an extra mile can really go by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealership today. And now with IRS Section 179, businesses could be eligible for up to a $25,900 tax deduction. That's up to $5,439 in tax savings. Options and model availability may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Some equipment described is optional. $5,439 tax savings based on a 21% federal rate and eligibility to claim full $25,900 Section 179 vehicle deduction. Your tax rate and eligibility may vary. Consult your tax advisor for more information. Limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com. Offer valid through December 31st, 2020. Major League Baseball concerned about its World Series matchup. That next at Shane Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, it's time again. Is it Clemson and Bama versus the field or the fields? Big Ten getting ready to kick back off this week. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And we're delighted now to be joined by our ESPN MLB insider, Jeff Passan. And Jeff, maybe you could help explain this to me, because I just saw this graphic that our fine folks at ESPN put up. Prorated salaries for the 2020 season. Clayton Kershaw and Mookie Betts made a combined $26,308,000. The Tampa Bay Rays' entire payroll, $28,773,000. And yet we're dealing with both one seeds in the World Series. How do these two wildly different styles, both the unquestioned choice and pick, to make it to this spot?
The funny thing about it, Mike, is that this is not really a particular surprise. And you know, the Dodgers and Rays are a lot more alike than what their payrolls say. I've been saying this all week. I've been writing it on ESPN.com. It's like the Dodgers are Whole Foods to the Rays Aldi. You know, they're both, like, good. They're both enjoyable. People like both of them. One just costs a lot more than the other. And the fact that the Rays have been able to put together the team that they have on the payroll that they have, I think says a lot about who they are as an organization. It's a really well-run franchise and a team that has not exceeded expectations, but I think lived up to them. You know, coming into this season, if you surveyed people and asked them who the best team in the American League is, the answer was either going to be the Yankees or the Rays. And the Rays, it turned out, were better in the division series. It took them 5 games, but they did it, and they were better than the Houston Astros. It took them 7 games, but they did it. And here they are now in the World Series facing a Dodgers team that overcame a lot of adversity in coming back from 3-1 against the Atlanta Braves in the NLCS.
I love it. Big Whole Foods energy out here in Los Angeles. Jeff Passan, ESPN, MLB insider, and Janae and Golic Jr. And speaking of Los Angeles, a lot of emotion coming out of L.A. You saw Dave Roberts and company really speak to that. Is this finally the best shot for the Dodgers to really win it all with all that Game 7 momentum? Where do the Dodgers really stand in this moment?
I think so, Janae. And I think so. You know, Dave Roberts said something really interesting last night. He said, if we had Mookie Betts in 2018, we would have beaten the Red Sox. And, yeah, when you take a player of his caliber away from one team and put it on the other, that's a pretty reasonable thing to say. This is the most talented Dodgers team, I think, that they've had among their three that have gone to the World Series in the last 4 years. And things do set up really well against a Rays team that is vulnerable offensively. As great as Randy Arozarena has been this entire postseason, he cannot be a one-man show. And the Rays need to get offense from other guys if they want a chance in this series. But even if they get it, the Dodgers pitching staff is deep enough, I think, to contend with it. And it's going to be interesting to see how Dave Roberts deploys his pitchers, whether he sticks with Clayton Kershaw and Walker Buehler as his only real starters and uses Dustin May and Julio Urias and Tony Gonsolin sort of in long relief roles like he did last night. You know, you saw May as the opener, Gonsolin get a couple of innings in between, and then Urias pitched the last three brilliantly. If you're going up against the Rays, you better be able to match up well and to do the maneuvering necessary, because Kevin Cash, the Rays manager, might be the best at it in all of baseball.
Jeff Passan, our ESPN MLB insider, with us here on Chinay and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Chinay Agumake. And we're talking about this matchup, Jeff, because we didn't get the one that I think a lot of people had their eyes on, the Astros and the Dodgers, all that bad blood and animosity. And I'm curious, Jeff, we talked so much about how the road schedule for the Astros was going to be a nightmare this year, and we didn't get that because of COVID. And we saw the bad blood carry over now. How long does this last? How long is the moratorium on bad blood towards this Houston Astros core going to last us?
Ad infinitum. I mean, I don't see it going away anytime soon. You know, Jose Altuve is under a long-term contract. Alex Bregman's under a long-term contract. I think it's going to take the breaking up of that core to really see it dissipate. And there's a chance that starts this off season. You know, George Springer is going to be gone. Presumably, if the Astros don't re-sign him, he's a free agent. Carlos Correa is a free agent after the 2021 season. So, if all that's left is Bregman and Altuve, they're going to bear the brunt of it. And I don't see that stopping anytime soon.
Now, to get to the World Series, two teams win and two teams have to lose. We talked about the Astros, but how about the Braves? Breaking the already, I guess, broken hearts of many Atlanta sports fans. What is the ceiling for that team, the Atlanta Braves?
Janae, last night I tweeted, poor Atlanta. And I think that Atlantans thought that I was being sarcastic. As a native Clevelander, I know what sporting heartbreak feels like. I grew up with it. I lived it. It made me, in a lot of ways, the person that I am today because I understood what it's like at a very young age to have something that you love disappoint you. And, God, that's really depressing to say. I look at what happened with the Braves last night and see what happened with Georgia over the weekend and what's happened with the Falcons this year, seemingly, every week at the beginning of the season, and 28-3. It just piles up. That being said, the Atlanta Braves aren't going anywhere. They've got Ronald Acuna signed through 2028. They've got Ozzie Albies signed through 2027. They've got Dansby Swanson and in their pitching staff when Mike Soroka comes back from his Achilles injury to go alongside Max Fried and Ian Anderson. That might be as good of a top three as you have in all baseball. So the Braves are going to be fine. They're going to be back here. They're going to get their shot at a championship one of these years. And as disappointing as it is to lose a series that you were leading 3-1, I don't see this as the sort of thing that's going to take the Atlanta Braves and send them on tilt.
Never a disappointment is our ESPN MLB insider, Jeff Pass. And Jeff, we appreciate the time and insight as always, man. Looking forward to getting the series started on Tuesday.
Speak for yourself, Golic.
My favorite on fantasy, punt, pass, and kick.
Jeff Passan is a fantasy football force of nature. He gets the whole family involved. His son's in there talking bleep. It's incredible. Speaking of talking tomorrow, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred going to join the guys on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. So be sure to tune in and get the state of the MLB Union as they head in to the World Series beginning, again, Tuesday night, 8 p.m. But coming up next, Janae, we got to have a conversation about Clemson, Alabama, and the field.
Yes.
What if I told you there might be two Thanoses in college football right now? That's next. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I don't know when it happened, but somewhere along the line, like me, former offensive lineman, hand in the dirt, son of a hand in the dirt, my father somehow became a defender of analytics. And in about 10 minutes, I got to get something off my chest because I'm sick and tired of football's old guard leaning in and blaming everything on the numbers.
Look, you're speaking to a native of Houston, the Houston Rockets, and we talk about Houston and analytics, and I love it. It has brought us success, but not all of the success we need.
Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agumake. Not all the success you need, but it made you different. You were aggressive in going for it, and being aggressive and trying to win and doing it in different ways at times deserves to be rewarded and not cast down by people
yes.
that are just too afraid to admit that they would rather play not to lose than to win.
What do we call it? Scared money don't make money.
Mm-hmm. Shout it from the mountaintop, Chinay. That part, all the way, that part. But we got an interesting situation going on right here now, Chinay, because we've got the Kansas City Chiefs up 7-3 on the Buffalo Bills right now. We know COVID's produced a unique year, so we've got two Monday night football games going on right now. We've got this game going on. We've got Cowboys and Cardinals going on later on tonight. But our own Christine Lisi, SportsCenter Update anchor, you've seen her become world famous on the Dan Le Batard Show every day, eviscerating Dan and Stu Gatz and everybody else. Christine Lisi is one of the most foremost Buffalo Bills fans in our building, and she is stressed right now. Christine, how are you holding up during a game during work hours for
you? Not well. Not well.
I've seen you pacing around here in the studio. You made baked goods for the rest of us to feel good. I'm like, primetime matchup, the Bills are good this year. They were good last year like you wanted. Has this been maybe more than you expected?
Yeah, it's very exciting. I'm trying to remain as calm as I can. I've never been at work when a big Bills game has been on. So this is something new for me, but I'm trying to remain as calm as I can and keep an eye on the game. And Josh is killing me a little bit. You know, like, it's raining. It's raining. Please don't throw the ball 80 yards. I know you've got a really good arm, and I know Stephon Diggs is excellent, but please, it's raining, right? Like, listen, just a little dink-dunk pass. That works for me.
She's saying less is more, Josh.
Yeah, just today, because it's raining, and it's not great weather. And also watching him run and, like, fly through the air, I'm like, no. No. I know you're athletic, and I know you're big, and I know you, like, I don't know if he grabbed Aaron Donald by the face mask a couple of weeks ago, or he had a face mask penalty because it's crazy. I was like, I know all that, but we need you healthy and we need you okay. So
see, and as you guys have gotten to know Christine Lisi, like
the queen,
she is a queen. She is one of the kindest people at ESPN. Probably, I think, the most universally beloved person at ESPN Radio. This is the most stressed I have ever seen Christine. And so we are all rooting for the Buffalo Bills in one way, yes, shape, or form, because Christine makes the best treats and cookies on planet Earth, and we want to make sure that those continue as the good luck charm and goodwill charm for the Bills. So the Chiefs are up 7-3 right now. We will keep you posted, as will Christine, as the game goes along on that. Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And we mentioned big, strong, athletic quarterbacks. This game's got two of them in Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, Chenay. But, man, what we saw from this weekend from Trevor Lawrence against Georgia Tech, 404 yards passing, essentially in a half. Chenay, I don't know if we've seen anything like him ever, or at least in the very recent history of NFL quarterbacks.
Look, I want you to get it off your chest, because you are part of the internal machinations of college football. And we see Bama win. Georgia, I was excited in the beginning, and then we see, like, you know, they're super talented, Alabama, and they have receivers and all that stuff, which is fun, and this is sort of what was expected. Plus, Nick Saban was able to be out there, so all the worry for nothing-ish. And then Clemson, as you mentioned, what was it, 73-7? Tell me how you really feel about college football right now.
The worst loss for Georgia Tech since 1894. It felt so deeply personal in ways that I still can't comprehend. Clemson had a punter complete a pass in this game to Dabo Sweeney's son. It seems so disrespectful across the board. But, Janae, this is the level of football they're playing. And after watching what Alabama did to Georgia, Georgia defense that might be one of the best, if not the best, in college football this weekend, and Alabama was still able to put over 40 points up on them during the course of that game. Right now, my Notre Dame Fighting Irish are undefeated and sitting at number 3 in the country. We know the Big
Ten's
getting
ready. How do you feel,
though,
about that? Because that last one, I was a little worried for a second.
What are you talking about? 12, listen, great teams find a way to win.
Okay,
12-7 over Louisville. No, and I look at this. Notre Dame is a very talented team, one that is capable of, on a given day, beating one of these teams. But that's like a 2 out of 10 times right now, if we're lucky, because Alabama and Clemson have shown they're just built different right now. And especially, Chenay, in this uncertain season, I said talent, continuity in your quarterback spot. And Mac Jones played some important football for them at the end of last year when Tua went down. He's been playing sensational this year. And having your coaching staff in place, which is something Alabama hasn't been able to do in a lot of recent years. I mean, if Nick Saban was not able to coach, like you mentioned, they were going to have Steve Sarkisian be able to step in. A guy who knows that Alabama program, has been a head coach before. All of those things add up, along with the depth of recruiting, into basically these are the only two teams right now that have a fighting chance. Like, we're going to see Justin Fields and Ohio State, Ryan Day, when they come back. That's one of the other teams that has the talent across the board, the top quarterback, and the depth of recruiting to be able to make this possible. But I really think it is those three teams about a quarter mile and everybody else right now.
Did you have fun watching the ACC outside of, obviously, Clemson? That UNC Florida State game was kind of fun finish.
It was. You know what, Chenay? It was a good reminder that there is a lot of talent in that conference. Like, a lot of people will poo-poo the ACC and say it's Clemson and then a bunch of nobodies, but Mac Brown has turned around that Tar Heel program in a hurry. They're starting to recruit really well. Sam Howell is a name that NFL people are going to get very used to hearing about in the near future. Florida State gets a big program building win. All of that doesn't really matter when we're talking about this year. So for the people that are kind of sick of Clemson and Alabama dominating the top of college football, you got your break last year. It's back on track this year.
It looks like it.
Like, I hope everybody enjoyed LSU's championship. I know we enjoyed that run, one of the best that we've ever seen. But the number one pick in the draft plays for the Clemson Tigers. The two best running backs in college football are on this team. And it appears there is no end in sight for this destruction. Coming up next, we lay out the full Cuffin season calendar on Chenangle Jr.